I was just saying that really it's a pleasure to host the Talmidim and their parents. I think it's a very wonderful idea. Again, it was born of the Corona era, but it certainly should transcend it. And as I say, it symbolizes the partnership of the Shinanta Levanecha, which acknowledges the central and organic role of parents as shutfim with the Rabbonu Shel Olam, but allows halachic, mentors, to join, in that bond. And obviously, that's what we try to do. We try to, develop, a very important relationship, not to compete with, but to complement, and to enhance, the family relationship. So particularly, I think it's appropriate around Hanukkah, because Hanukkah is a very family-oriented, holiday. Neri Shebeso is the prime category of Hanukkah lights, even though they're, of course, maybe the most, there are two opposite singular, let's say, characteristics of the mitzvah of Neros Hanukkah. One, of course, the one that we normally focus on, because we're maximalist, Ovdei Hashem, hopefully, is the fact that Neros Hanukkah can be accomplished Mahadrin min ha-Mahadrin, meaning not only in a preferable way, in an idealistic way, an ideal way, but in the most, right? The mitzvah of Hanukkah, as we know, is the only mitzvah where there are really like three options, and they are different from each other. It's not just like, a more beautiful esrog, a nicer pair of tefillin, but three different emphases, which we're not going to speak about tonight. That's an important topic, but not for tonight. Neri Shebeso, Mahadrin and Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin. Most people do Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin, which for Ashkenazim typically means the view of the Ramah, that every person in the home lights a menorah according to the amount of days of Hanukkah. But that tends to obscure the other equally, maybe even more powerful, singular characteristic of Neros Hanukkah. And that is the idea that at its core, it's Neri Shebeso. And for the Rambam in particular, again, we won't elaborate, it's not just that one person represents the family. It's like the family unit is the obligated unit, the way the Rambam, subtly changes. The Gemara calls it Neri Shebeso, and the Rambam calls it a Chovas Habayis, an obligation of the family. So this idea that the corporate or core family is, at the heart of Neros Hanukkah, is not a coincidence. And maybe I'll speak more about that, in about a week, but not for this year. But it's even true, and especially for the Rambam, that the Mahadrin and Mahadrin and a Mahadrin work off of the Neri Shebeso. According to the Rambam, the Mahadrin and Mahadrin, which again multiplies the day of Hanukkah by the amount of participants, the same way that the Ramah does. But according to the Rambam, the Balabayas, one person lights for everybody. So you'll light, if there are five people in the family, on the last night, he'll light 40 candles. As if to say that Neri Shebeso, even in Mahadrin and Mahadrin, kind of remains the principle. That's because the struggle of Hanukkah, and I want to talk a little bit about that tonight, is so important, and therefore, by definition, it particularly accentuates the family and the family unit. This year, we're learning Masechet to Pesachim, and we're kind of all over the place, as you need to be when you learn a Masechta. Mostly, we're learning the first chapter, which deals with the more exoteric, known parts of the holiday of Pesach, Bedikas Chametz, getting rid of the Chametz, and so on. But we've also done a couple of forays into Korban Pesach, the special Korban that's brought. And the Korban Pesach also is singular in that the unit of its sacrifice is the minui that takes place. Selabes Havos, Selabayas. It too, originally in the time of Mitzrayim, was centered around the collective unit of the family. We don't have that in any other Korban. So both the Masechta and the upcoming holiday kind of accentuate this big idea. The family continues, you know, to dominate, you know, who people are, where they get their values. And, you know, that in combination with immersing oneself in the rich tradition of Talmud Torah is the formula, you know, that leads to a purposeful life, you know, and spiritual growth. And our aspiration for all of our Talmidim, which is that they should, you know, master, you know, the methodology of learning, and especially, you know, develop a love of learning that, you know, is not just for these few years, but that will define their spiritual journey for the rest of their lives. So it's really very special to be able to host everybody pre-Chanukah in the year that we're learning Psachim. And of course, the added unusual circumstances, you know, most of which are very disturbing and distressful and so on. But the fact that we've been able to continue joyously to immerse ourselves in Torah learning is also, again, I think, a testament to the stability of our Talmidim and their good values and priorities that come from their homes and that they continue to develop through their learning. But also, again, a real partnership, you know, with the families and the homes. For sure, for the people who are home and Zooming at home, and yet, you know, keeping the schedule and keeping, you know, the rigorous preparation and so on. But, you know, for everybody, really. Okay, so what I want to do this evening, I don't want to take too much of your time. I'm known to sometimes go a little bit over time, but I'll try not to be too guilty of that this evening, is I want to talk one topic in Chanukah to accentuate, you know, I think, if not to define the role, the theme so much, but at least to try to accentuate just how central and important and what the stakes of a proper observance of Chanukah really are. So I'd like the shiur tonight to focus on an analysis of the Rambam's view. And again, I'm partial to that for sure. All high level, all advanced Talmud Torah has to relate to, you know, the Rambam's view on everything and anything. And in particular, just to give the, you know, those of you at home, the parents, kind of a taste of what we try to do. Certainly Rambam study is extremely central in our particular shir. That comes from a long tradition. The Rambam was a figure, of course, the very famous Maimonides. He was kind of an unparalleled, you know, prominent, you know, figure who in the secular world or the bigger world is known for his philosophical contribution. And that certainly is very important. But more importantly, in terms of his own investment of time and effort, and in terms of his transformative contribution, the Rambam's halachic contribution. The Rambam was the first to codify the totality of Torah. And he did so, and he also reorganized it. He re-systemized it. And it's again, I always say this to the students because it's true. We almost can't comprehend how he was able to accomplish what he did because we live in a post-Rambam era. So we're all benefiting from what he did. But to be the one who initiated all of that it's almost unfathomable. And because of that, the Rambam is often kind of a victim of his own success. This is true of, I would say, the two most famous and also maybe in some respect most impactful of the Rishonim, Rashi and the Rambam. Their impact on us, the influence that they had on, you know, Torah discussions is so great that, you know, we kind of take for granted the things that they said, the contributions that they made, because they're often accepted. And even if they're not fully accepted, they're already part of the conversation. So it's always a challenge in order to really appreciate what that contribution is and to assess it more accurately, you have to kind of step back and try to, you know, think of a, you know, how the world was before Rashi and before the Rambam, you know, what was the material that was available to them, and then what did they do with it? And then we can, you know, really appreciate immeasurably more even what it is, you know, that they contributed and the ideas really that they convey. So we try to do that in our shiur, believe it or not, regularly. We don't usually make such a long speech about it. But what we try to do is, one of the important things we try to do is we try to understand how the Rambam understood a topic. And that always means, you know, investigating, again, what came before, what, you know, special formulation he used, if there's some innovation, you know, that, you know, doesn't come obviously from the previous rabbinic texts, you know, to try to identify that, and then to try to kind of see it, you know, in its fullness. Because Rambam, in addition to being an incredibly innovative halachic and philosophic thinker, as I say, also was the first person to systematize the whole of Jewish law, every part of it. And that kind of provides us with an invaluable opportunity, you know, to, you know, instead of speculating, you know, which we often do, like, what would he say about this, or what would that person say about that? We still speculate in the Rambam too, because obviously there are always, you know, additional cases and issues, but at least we know what the Rambam thinks, you know, about all explicit topics of the halacha. And therefore, using the fullness of his presentation, and then again appreciating his presentation, becomes very critical to understanding that phase in Jewish law. Parshanut of the Rambam exegesis, you could call it, has been going on, you know, since the first people, you know, got their, you know, early pre-publication copies or whatever it was. They didn't just read it; they read it, they critiqued it, they looked for sources, and they particularly tried to delve into, like, how did he get that, and how did he read the earlier sources, and what, you know, is implicit in his understanding. So that began, you know, all the way from when the Rambam wrote it, and it continues to our time. And this is one of the things that we do, and one of the things that your sons, you know, continue to do. They make interesting suggestions about how to interpret these great figures who contributed so much, you know, to Jewish law, including the Rambam. And this is one of the important things that we do. So I want to do tonight is just kind of a brief shiur, but on Inyanei Chanukah, but I want to focus on the Rambam. Okay, so let me begin with a bit of a puzzle, and then we'll move backwards. You know what? Actually, I'm going to go the other way just in case it gets too late. So I'm going to share my screen here. I don't think I've ever done this successfully before, but I'm going to try. Just one second. Yes. Okay. Okay. Everybody has that? It means I don't see everybody. And by the way, there'll be a time afterwards for questions. It can be about the shiur, or it can be about the shiur. You know what I'm saying? Either the topic or the group. I'm happy to answer some questions and get to know any of the parents who would like to stay on, or any of the students for that matter, but we have our opportunities. Okay. So the let's start with the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos. Okay. So the Gemara in Shabbos, does everybody have this on the screen? Okay. I'm not doing this for the regular shiur.
Yes.
Okay. This is like exotic for me. So the Gemara Masechet Shabbos, Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, famously says the following. My Chanukah, one of the most famous passages in the Talmud Bavli, probably the most famous passage when it comes to the topic of Chanukah. It's a very strange beginning. We don't have my Pesach, and we don't have my Shavuos, you know, or my Sukkos or my Rosh Hashanah. That's a strange, what do you mean my Chanukah? And then the Gemara goes on to describe, you know, the background of Chanukah. But I prefer to translate my Chanukah is the Gemara's asking an exploratory kind of conceptual question. And that is like, what is the essence of Chanukah? Like, what is Chanukah really all about? Because there are so many different aspects that you could zero in on. And the Gemara wants to know, like, what is the, like, you know, what's the core principle here? So the Gemara says, my Chanukah. And then they give the example, the Tan Rabbanan, b'chafei v'kislev yom ha'Chanukah t'manya inun, on the 25th of Kislev, right? There are 8 days of Chanukah. D'lola mispei b'hon v'olisanos b'hon, days in which it's inappropriate to eulogize or to fast. And the background is, shekesh nichnasu yivanim lahechal, when the Greeks entered into the innermost part of the Beis HaMikdash, timu kol hashmanim shebehechal, they ritually made ritually impure, right, the shemen tahar, the pure shemen that was necessary for kindling the menorah, a very central, you know, feature in the life of the Beis HaMikdash. U'kishagavra malchus beis chashmonoi v'nitzchum, and when the chashmonoim overcame the military struggle against the Greeks, vodka v'lamotzol l'pach echad shel shemen, they investigated and found only a single, usually they say, cruse of oil, right? Shehaya munach b'chasamo shel kohen gadol, which actually was stamped with the imprimatur of the Kohen Gadol. Everybody's familiar with the story. This is where it comes from. There was only sufficient oil to burn for one day. But a miracle took place. And the hadlaka, the kindling, extended for all 8 days. The next year, Kivaum va'asaum, they established as Yamim Tovim Bahalel Ubahada. They therefore determined that Chanukah would be Yamim Tovim with Halel and with Hoda'a. Okay. So the question is, what are these components? It seems that the Gemara describes the historical background of the Nes, and then it turns its attention to the establishment of a holiday. And the holiday, it seems, has three components. One is they made it into a Yom Tov, right? With Hallel and Hoda'a. Now, those are very important terms, but also very ambiguous ones. What does it mean? Well, when you confront the first one, Yomim Tovim, it also seems to pose a bit of a difficulty because we don't treat Chanukah, we don't perceive Chanukah as a typical Yom Tov. Not at all. Yom Tov is something that is associated with Isra Malacha, right? It's a moed. It has a prohibition of work. Okay, Yom Tov less so than Shabbos, but still, Kom Lecha Savoda Lo Sasu. That's not what happens on Chanukah. So this bothered Rashi. I should have put the Rashi here, but I forgot. Rashi, on the spot, says there aren't three components. There are two components. It's Asom Yamim Tovim B'Halal V'Hoda. They turned Chanukah into a kind of a Yom Tov, but not with respect to Isra Malacha, because there's no Isra Malacha on Chanukah, but with regard to two things. One is Halal, meaning they required the saying of Halal on Chanukah. That's one. And the other is Hoda'a, an expression of thanksgiving. What is that? So Rashi says that refers to the insert of Al Anisim, which we're all familiar with in Tefillah and in Birchas HaMazon during Chanukah. So according to Rashi, what seems like three, Yomim Tovim, Halal, and Hoda, end up being two, a Yom Tov of Halal and the saying of Al Anisim. However, If you look at the Rambam, this is a good example, in my opinion, of Rambam Parshanut, of trying to understand how did the Rambam read the Gemara. So the first thing we note, and I'm not going to be able to speak about this extensively tonight, again, maybe a little more next week, but by a Cheney, the Rambam says, Hilchos Megillah Per Gimel Halacha Aleph, everybody have that? Yeah? Okay. If not, somebody should shout out, let me know. I should explain first that the Rambam combined Megillah and Hanukkah because there are similar kind of holidays. And there's, you know, a constant comparison, contrast between them. They're both rabbinic holidays and they share a lot in common. So instead of writing, you know, a section called Hilchos Megillah and then a separate section, Hilchos Hanukkah, the Rambam combined Hilchos Megillah v'Chanukah. He also combined, you know, Shofar, Sukkah, and Lulav. He sometimes does that. Okay. So this is the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah is really Perek Gimel, Halach Aleph. The first two prakim deal with Megillah. So the Rambam has a whole background, it should be noted. Number one, the Rambam is in a history book. So when he brings a background, there's a reason for it. There's also no Torah Shebichsav on Chanukah. There's no Megillah like there is in Megillah Esther or Kriyas HaTorah. So the background, the historical background is particularly important. But more than that, it sounds like the background, which the Rambam elaborates on very extensively, it's hard to find the sources for everything that the Rambam quotes here. Not in the more traditional normative sources, like the Talmud Bavli, even the Talmud Yerushalmi. The Rambam is calling on Midrashim and some exotic Midrashim, and there are even parts to his presentation that we just don't know where he got it from. That already is a signal that the Rambam is investing, let's say, in his presentation of Chanukah. He's not just writing what the Mishnah says, what the Gemara says, you know, what the Tosefta says, what the Yerushalmi says. The Rambam is expanding the discussion in the background. Okay? So, B'bayis Sheni, says the Rambam, in the period of B'bayis Sheni, Kishemolchu Yavon, right, when the Greeks ruled, Gazru Gzeros al Yisrael u'bitlu datam, they imposed Gzeros on Klal Yisrael, and they basically outlawed the religion. Okay? They didn't allow them, right, to be involved in Torah mitzvahs. Each word here is actually, the use of the word lasok reminds us of lasok b'divrei Torah, and has a certain connotation. Bitludatam is a phrase that we know that Rambam uses elsewhere, signifies a time of crisis, Shas HaShemad. I don't want to get into that right now because we don't have time, but my point is the Rambam is using almost coded language, if you know where to look, elsewhere in his works or in rabbinic literature, to tell you that the crisis was great. Upashtu yadam b'mamonam b'bnoseyem. There was an economic crisis. There was a morality crisis. Families were being threatened. V'nichasu lehechal. They also came into the hechal. Parts of Pratzos v'timu taharos, and they defiled the pure components that were used in the Mikdash. This is very interesting in its own right. Again, not to be elaborated, but the Gemara mentions that the Greeks defiled the oil, but in the context of explaining very specifically the miracle of there being only one, you know, Pach Shemen left that wasn't Tameh. It's background for that. The Rambam sees in the defilement of the oil, apparently, a religious a crisis in its own right. Okay. The Tzar Lahem Yisrael Ma'od Mipneihem, Klal Yisrael were very very much in crisis, right? V'lachatzam, lachatz gadola, tzaricha malem alakei avaseinu, v'oshiyam mi'adam v'yitzilam, v'gavru b'nei chashmonayim, akonim agdolim, Bahargum, the Hoshia Yisrael Miyadam. Some the Ribbono Shel Olam behind the scenes, and the Kohanim Gedolim, in the front lines, accomplished this miracle of Geula, of redemption. The Hamidu Melech Min HaKohanim, also an interesting addition here. The Chazra Malchus Yisrael Yoser Al Masayim Shanad Korban Hashem. Then, the Rambam explained, so this is all very fascinating. Because of the Rambam's impact, we know it all. We've heard it all, this part. But a lot of it is unsourced. And certainly the decision to put it here and the language that he uses, let's say, catapults, his treatment, let's say, of the crisis, in a very powerful way. We'll just leave it at that for now. Ukishgav Yisrael Aleveim, when Klal Yisrael overcame their enemies, the Ibdum, the Chamisha V'Yasrim Chodesh Kislev, on the 25th of Kislev, V'Nichtasu L'Heichov L'Matzu Shem and Tahar. Now he's telling you how they couldn't find Shem and Tahar. He already mentioned it earlier as an intrinsic part of the crisis. Now he's telling you about the background for Neis Hanukkah, the Mikdash, Elapach Echad, L'Hoy Boy L'Hadlik Eliyam Echad Bovad, V'Dlikim Mimenu Neiris Hamaracha Shmona Yamim Ad Shekoshu Zesim V'Otziyu Shem and Tahar. Until they got new Shem and Tahar, it took 8 days, and the miracle was that the Pach Shemen endured for that time. Okay, that part, mostly halacha base, is what the Gemara says about, Yomi, Nechanukah, Tamanya, Inun, etc. So halacha Aleph is very mechudash, and definitely establishes a certain tone. Halacha base is a little more conventional. Fine. Then comes halacha gimel. What is halacha gimel? For that reason, the chachamim of that generation established. These are the days of Chanukah. Okay, so what is halacha gimel? The answer is, the simple pshat is, if you look at halacha beis, right, and you look at the end of halacha gimel, it's clear that the Rambam here is weighing in on his interpretation of the Gemara that we just read. Again, one more time. The Gemara said, "My Chanukah," right? Then it said, "Bechafei bekislefiyeh mechanukah tamanyan dilol misporin of lol nisanus." That's the last thing that the Rama mentions in Halacha Gimel. And then you have the whole thing about why this was a miracle, kishatimu, and so on. Oh, so clearly this is an interpretation. This is the Rambam's reading of the Braisa in the Gemara. Except that if that is the case, then there are several striking questions that need to be resolved. Because what does the Rambam say here? The Gemara said that there were three components, according to Rashi's reading, two components of Chanukah. Right? One is Yom Tov, the other is Hallel, and the third is Hodah. Okay, Rashi said that it's not really Yom Tov because there's no Yisra Malacha. It's Yom Tov with respect to Hallel, the saying of Hallel, and Hodah, the saying of Al HaNisim. How does the Rambam say it? Rambam says that there are Yemei Simcha, days of joy. The word Simcha does not appear in the Gemara at all. The Hallel, that part appears, certainly. That's the middle component. And then, instead of Yom Tov, the Rambam has Simcha. For Hallel, the Rambam has Hallel. And for Hodah, that's completely missing also. Umadlikin bohena neiros ba'erev al pischei habatim b'cholayla v'layla mishmonos halelos laharus legalos asanes. It's a very, very verbose sentence. Very hard to say that, without stopping, and breathing in between. The Rambam was a linguistic stylist. He had great, you know, language skills. He could turn a phrase like no one. So why this very, very, very long, you know, and strange explanation here? What happened to Yom Tov and what happened to Hoda? So this is a, you know, an issue which intrigued Rambam readers again from the very beginning, and different suggestions are made. With regard to the one that I think is compelling, and which recently I found also is quoted in the back of the Frankel Rambam, this is what I've always wanted to interpret the Rambam anyway, but it's explicit there, and it's from a much earlier time. I think the Binyan Shlomo or something like that is as follows. Obviously, the Rambam is reading the Brisa. So for him, just like Rashi was uncomfortable with the word Yom Tov, because there's no Isra Malacha, so the Rambam didn't think that Yom Tov meant literally Yom Tov. But unlike Rashi, he didn't think that it just meant, you know, with respect to, he thought it was a component. So what he took from Yom Tov was not Yom Tov Yisra Malacha, but Yom Tov Simcha. It's a day of Simcha. There's a major debate among the poskim whether or not there's an obligation of Seuda on Hanukkah. The Ram Rutenberg, one of the great sages of Ashkenaz, Rebbe of the Rush, who had tremendous impact on the world of Ashkenaz, contends that there is no obligation to have a Seuda on Hanukkah. After all, there's no Pasuk comparable to what we have in the Megillah, right? Mishta v'simcha, simcha mishta. Unlike the Megillah, unlike Purim, there's no obligation to feast. The Bach and others turned this actually into a, you know, conceptual principle. What they said was Hanukkah and Purim are fundamentally different. Purim is about physical survival, and therefore it's expressed in a meal, right? And not just a meal, but a, you know, a very prominent meal. Not only Simcha Mishta, but Mishta V'Simcha. Hanukkah is about spiritual, the danger of spiritual extinction. And therefore, it dafka doesn't focus on a meal. However, the Marshal and others suggest that maybe there is a basis for a meal. And some suggest that that's particularly so for the Rambam, because the Rambam may have understood, or probably understood, that Yom Tov means Simcha. And Simcha typically is expressed in a meal. So the first chiddush is that the Rambam expanded. Rashi detracted from the three to the two for good reason. Rashi did that. Rambam maintains the three, but he expands our notion of Hanukkah by making it more like a Yom Tov in that there is a din of Simcha, possibly of Suda. What about Hallel? Well, that's straightforward, seemingly. The Rambam didn't add anything to that. The Brisa says Hallel, and the Rambam says Hallel. However, I like to point out that the Rambam's treatment of Hallel on Chanukah is singular. And it, again, reflects that the Rambam is basically writing on a bigger canvas. He is expanding the significance of this holiday. Why do I say that? Immediately after, you know, Halacha Gimel comes, you know, Halacha Dalet. If we could just turn a little bit. Kol shechai b'kriyas ha-megillah chai b'hadlakas ner Chanukah. So the Rambam turns his attention to Hadlakas Neiros Chanukah, and he tells us that when you do the Hadlakas Neiros, you make a bracha. Not one, not two, but the first night, three brachos. All the other nights, two brachos. Right? Lahadlik Ner Shal Chanukah, Shal Sandisim Lav Oseinu, Shehechiyanu. Okay. What would you expect would come in the very next halacha? What should be halacha hey? the expectation would be that Halakha Hay would start discussing Hadlokas Neros Chanukah, because the Rambam just talked about the bracha. We have a rule in Masachet Pesachim, which we'll get to, hopefully, Kol HaMitzvos Mivarchin Aleim Over Lasiyasa. When you pick up a lulav, when you blow shofar, when you sit in the sukkah, etc., you always make a bracha in advance, Birkas HaMitzvah. When you light the candles, as we know, you make a bracha. You actually make three. So what comes right after discussing the bracha over Lasiyasan? Asiyas HaMitzvah, lighting the candles. What's fascinating is that's not what the Rambam does. He only discusses lighting the candles in Perek Dalet, Halacha Aleph. If you look here, Kama Neros Humadlik, Mechanica, and then he discusses Mitzvah, Shia Kobayis Bayis Madlik Ner Echad. I think I mentioned in my introduction, the Rambam doesn't just say Neri Shabeso. He says the Chiyuv is a Chiyuv Abayis. Kol Abayis has a Chiyuv. I think that's very significant, but not for now. Okay. So in Perek Dalet, Halacha Aleph, the Rambam starts speaking about how the actual lighting of the candles. But the Perek doesn't end for another 10 halachos, Perek Gimel. Look at Halacha Hey. B'chol yom v'yom ishmonas hayomim gomrim asahalel. Umavarech lefan of baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech haolam asher kedishanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu. Ligmar sahalel. Bein yachid bein tzibur. The Rambam, after telling you there are three components, simcha, halel, and we'll get to the third one, hadlakas neros Chanukah, mentions the bracha that you make on the Ner Chanukah, and then for some reason interrupts for about the next 10 halachos until the end of the third chapter with all of the dinim of Halel. In other words, as I sometimes like to say, the Rambam interrupted between the bracha of Halel, the bracha of Ner Chanukah, and the lighting of Ner Chanukah. It's an intellectual or literary hefsek, if you will. And that's very strange. Why would he do that? Moreover, the Rambam presents Dinei Halel for all of the holidays, for all the Yom Tovim, here in Hilchos Chanukah. Even though earlier, in his presentation of the Moedim, right, after Shabbos and Erevin and Yom Kippur, Shvisas Asar, the Rambam discusses Hilchos Yom Tov. He could have put the Halachas of Halel earlier in Hilchos Yom Tov, because you say Halel on Yom Tov. Why does he choose to wait until Hilchos Chanukah when he's dealing with the Mitzvah Drabanan of Chanukah, and only then does he present the Dinim of Halel, and then in such a way that it disrupts the flow and interrupts between the bracha and the mitzvah. Moreover, the Gemara Masechet Shabbos explains that even when there's a mitzvah drabanan, like Chanukah, the Gemara gives the example of Chanukah, you could say the word vitzivanu. Because the Rabbanu Shalom wanted us to listen to the Chachamim, so it's also vitzivanu by extension. When the Rambam wants to quote that halacha, instead of using the example that the Gemara uses of Ner Chanukah, he uses the example of Halel. He says you make a bracha on Halel before you say it, and don't worry about saying vitzivanu, because you could say vitzivanu on a din drabanan or a din divrei sofer. Almost as if the Rambam wants you to understand that he is integrating the treatment of Neros Chanukah and Halel together. So even though the second component of the Rambam is simply what the Gemara says it is, his presentation, based on how he, you know, the order, you know, these subtle devices that he uses, shows that he believes that there's a bond between Halel and Chanukah that goes beyond, that transcends even the Doraisa, even the biblical holidays. And that, again, has expanded the significance of Hanukkah in a big way. What about the third component? That's the biggest mystery, right? The third one was Hodah. Rashi said it meant Al HaNisim. The Rambam doesn't even discuss the dinim of Al HaNisim in Hilchos Chanukah. He does discuss them when he talks about Birchas HaMazon, when he talks about Tefillah, but in Hilchos Chanukah, Man Dikar Shemei, he doesn't mention them at all. Clearly didn't read like Rashi. Right? But what happened to the Hodah? Where did it go? So I always thought this, the Piskei Arid says this in his Perush on the Gemara, and I always thought this is the Pshat in the Rambam. And subsequently, I found that in the Sefer Likutim in the back of the Frankel Rambam, again, he quotes this. That's one of the things that he says. Forget which one. When the Rambam adds in a very, very long sentence, Hadlokas Haneros al Piskei Habatim, that is his reading. That's his definition of Hodah. The thanksgiving that we express is through Neros Chanukah. That's very unusual. But what that does is, and I'm not going to elaborate right now, but it upgrades Neros Chanukah and Hodah. It's a different facet. Normally, Hodah is verbal. I thank somebody or the Rabbono Sholem, right? This is thank you by means of a mitzvah. Very fascinating. The support for this idea is twofold. Number one, the Re'im, Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi, famous for his commentary on Rashi al HaTorah, in his commentary on the Smag, asks, he said, I understand the Braisa. The Braisa speaks about Yom Tov, it speaks about Hallel, it speaks about Hodah. Why doesn't it say something about the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? How could that be absent? And some Achronim take this as a very serious problem. They say, well, there are two aspects of Chanukah. There's the day of Chanukah. That's one, that's what the Rambam is focusing on. And there's a separate, the mitzvah of Chanukah. There are two different aspects, two different dimensions. But in fact, and again, in the back, in that Perush, he says this as well. This solves the problem. For the Rambam, Hadlokas Neros is Hodah. But the truth is that the Rambam says this explicitly, that he doesn't mention, but that I'm mentioning, in Perek Dalid, Hilchos Chanukah Halacha Yud Beis. If you look at the Rambam, he says, this is towards the end of his presentation, he says a very remarkable thing, and this is what I want to zero in on for the rest of the time we have. The Rambam says, Mitzvahs Ner Chanukah, the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, Chaviva hi ad ma'od, is a beloved or endearing, an exceedingly endearing mitzvah. Now, where did he get this from? It doesn't say this in the Gemara anywhere. Every mitzvah is chaviva. We say about mitzvah, chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. Better to do a mitzvah on time. It's more endearing. And the performance of mitzvahs is certainly an expression of Avos Hashem. But why zero in on Ner Chanukah particularly? There's no source in the Gemara. This is the Rambam speaking out of conviction, out of global understanding, out of his, you know, immersive comprehension of everything. And telling you the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is particularly or exceedingly chaviv. The Tzarech Adam Lehizaherba, also an interesting line. You have to be very cautious and careful about it. Very strange. Ulahosif b'shevach hakel. Now why? To add to the shevach of the Rabbonu Shalom, praising God. Chanukah, Neros Chanukah is about praising God. He's just lighting the candles. The Hodaya lo, and it's also an act of thanks. That's the missing link. The Rambam, by saying Hodaya about Neros Chanukah, Perek Dalet, Halacha Yud Beis, is reinforcing that that's how he read the Braisa, and that's what the word Hodah in the Braisa meant to him in Perek Gimel, Halacha Gimel. And therefore, oh, al anisim she'asalanu. But then Rambam concludes with something even more innovative. He says, afilo ein lo mayochal, if he has no bread or no food to put on his table, right? Ela min atzdaka, he is on the doles, he's taking tzedakah money. Shoel o mocher ksusei velokeach shemen veneros umadlik. Nonetheless, he should sell his clothes in order to fulfill this mitzvah. Okay? So till now, we were zeroing in on the Rambam as a parshan, right? As, you know, providing interesting historical background, using coded language, you know, in that, you know, effort. Then the Rambam as a parshan of the Brisa of My Chanukah, having his own take on Simcha, on Yom Tov as Simcha, on the tremendous scope of Hallel on Chanukah as like being a side of the coin of Neros Chanukah. And even more mechudash of Neros Chanukah as Hodah. Now we find that the Rambam is the author of innovative halachic legal doctrines. Because this line, afilo ein lo mayochal ala min atzdaka, even if he is impoverished and doesn't have food on the table, shol o mocher ksusa v'lokeach shemen v'neros umadlik, does not have a source in rabbinic literature that we know of. It does not say in any Gemara or Yerushalmi that we're aware of that your dedication to the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah goes so far that you have to sell your clothes, right? Or that you have to take tzedakah money in order to fulfill it. I would say take tzedakah money and even sell your clothes or get a job, you know, just in order to accomplish this mitzvah. Where did that come from? Now, again, this is a great example of what I mentioned earlier, which is the Rambam is such an influential halachist that, you know, sometimes we just don't remember anymore, you know, how innovative he is. We just take what he says at face value. We assume that, you know, that's the basic core law. So that, for example, in the Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Tuf Reish Ayin Aleph, this halacha of the Rambam is just quoted. Again, if you look at the Ber Agola, he'll tell you it comes from the Rambam. But it's fascinating that it isn't just quoted. I mean, in the Rambam, this is quoted towards the end of his presentation. In the Shulchan Aruch, it's actually quoted in the second simen, right in the beginning of the presentation of the Chanukah. When the Shulchan Aruch begins to talk about lighting Chanukah candles, it starts off with the Rambam's Chiddush. Afilo ein l'mayochal ala min atzdaka, sholo mocher kesuso, etc. I'll just read the language. Just one second. The Rambam in Siman Tov Reish Ayin Aleph, which is the beginning of his discussion of Hadlakas Ner Chanukah, starts, Tzarech Lizar Ma'od Ba'Hadlakas Neros Chanukah. You have to be very careful about Neros Chanukah. Ve'afilo Oni Amis Parnis Min Atzdakah, Shol Omocher Ksusa V'Lokeach Shemen L'Hadlik. Even somebody impoverished has to take extraordinary steps to sell his clothes in order to fulfill this particular mitzvah. That is the first thing that the Shulchan Aruch says about the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neros Chanukah. It's one of the last, it's basically the last substantive thing that the Rambam says, where the Rambam concludes the Shulchan Aruch, you know, decided to begin. You conclude on, and you begin both on high notes, you know, on notes that make an impression. This is the Rambam. There are some achronim who were so convinced of this, as a fact, that they struggled with with the following issue. Right, the Gemara says in Shabbos, and the Rambam quotes us here as well. If you look at Perek Dalid, Halacha Yud Dalid, this is the last halacha, literally in Hilchos Chanukah. Hayu lefanav ner beso v'ner Chanukah. If a person had, you know, the ner of Shabbos, I mean the Shabbos candles, right, and ner Chanukah. If you only have enough money for Shabbos candles, or near Chanukah or Kiddush, near Shabbos trumps them all. Because that's based on Shalom Bayis, very important lesson. This is the final words of the Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah. It's amazing. Mishum Shalom Beso, Shira Hashem Nimchak, Lasos Shalom Ben Ish Leishto, Godol HaShalom, Shekol HaTorah Nitna, Lasos Shalom Ba'olam. Okay, the Torah stands for peace. And therefore Shalom Bayis overrides even Ner Chanukah. Okay, why am I telling you that? So but what about if it's a clash between Kiddush Hayom and Ner Chanukah? Both of them are outstripped by Shabbos candles. What about their clash? So the Ram says in Halacha Yud Gimel, She'ein lo harei she'ein lo pruta achas, he has only one pruta, ulefan of Kiddush Hayom adlakas Ner Chanukah, maknim liknos shemen lahadlik Ner Chanukah, alayayin, ule Kiddush Hayom, Rambam says Ner Chanukah trumps Kiddush Hayom. So some of the Achronim ask, they say, well, what do we need? This is a statement of Rava in the Gemara in Shabbos on Chav Gimel and Beis. What do we need Rava for this? It's so obvious. Because Ner Chanukah, you'll even go out and have to sell your jacket. You have to go out and sell your clothing. You don't have to do that. Do you have to do that for Kiddush Hayom? But we'll get to that. Assuming for the moment that you don't, it's obvious that Ner Chanukah has priority, is more important than Kiddush Hayom. But it's a strange question, because the very fact that Ner Chanukah has this requirement is not in the Gemara. It's only in the Rambam. The question that they were asking is in the Gemara. Rava says in the Gemara that Ner Chanukah trumps Kiddush Hayom. Says, well, that's obvious. What do we even need to know that for? You can know it from the Rambam. Meaning, the assumption was that what the Rambam says here is accepted by all and is implicit and unquestioned. But the fact is that all the Nosei Kelim and the Rambam, from the very beginning, were curious. They were intrigued, and they were skeptical. Where did he get it from? What is the basis of this halacha? And the truth is that many suggestions were advanced. The most popular is the suggestion of the Magid Mishnah. And this was one that was accepted, as I say, by most people. If I can find it, just one second. Magid Mishnah, okay, here it is. The Magid Mishnah says the following in Perek Dalet Halacha Yud Beis. Mitzvah Skanaka, Masha Kasav Rabbeinu Afilo Ein Lama Yochal, Nira Shalomdu Mimashin Isbayer, Beperek Zayin Nechoschama Tzumatza. Shafil Oni Sheb Yisrael Lo Yifchos Midalet Kosos. He says, what's the source? The Mishnah and Psachim, that says when it comes to the Dalet Kosos, the four Kosos, that you do not, that you have to participate, even if you're impoverished, even then you're allowed to take tzedakah money in order to fulfill the Dalet Kosos. Says the Magid Mishnah, Batam Mishim Persume Nisa. The Gemara says later on that the reason for this is because the Dalet Kosos are part of Persume Nisa, advertising the Nes. Mekol Shekein Ner Chanukah, De'odif Mikidush Hayom, Kemo Sharambam, Kemo Sheizbar, it should be, Barambam Hilchas Chametz. Since Ner Chanukah is even more than Kiddush Hayom, therefore, says the Magen Mishnah, it's more than Dalet Kosos, and therefore whatever is true for Dalet Kosos is more true for Ner Chanukah. That's how the Rambam knew, even though there's no Gemara, that Ner Chanukah, you have to sell your clothes. Problem is, it's not so simple. Number one, the Lechem Mishnah was troubled. Lechem Mishnah says, Kiddush Hayom, that's one cup. The Dalet Kosos are not the same as Kiddush Hayom. Just because Dalet Kosos require extraordinary effort, does that necessarily mean the same is true for Ner Chanukah? In some of the Perushim on Shulchan Aruch, they say, we can give you an explanation why Dalet Kosos is more compelling. After all, you're doing it inside your home, so maybe you have to work harder. Ner Chanukah, at least you'll see your neighbor's Chanukiah. You could do a Birchas HaRoah. Not so simple. So the Lechem Mishnah, while he questions the Magen Mishnah, only pulls back a little bit. He says, I don't like the Kol Shekein. It's good enough to say it's equal. It doesn't have to be better than Dalet Kosos. Some of the Achronim think it's worse than Dalet Kosos. The Ber Heitev in Shulchan Aruch says, even though in Dalet Kosos you have to, you know, take a job in order to be able to afford the Dalet Kosos, you don't have to do that for Ner Chanukah. He thinks that they are connected, but that the hierarchy goes in the other direction. But there's a much bigger question, and that is, what the Rambam says here goes way beyond what we find in Dalet Kosos. Dalet Kosos, again, is based on the Mishnah. Go back to the beginning here. The Mishnah in Psachim, Daf Tzadik Tes Amud Beis, says, Erev Psachim, Samach Lemincha Lo Yochal Adam Ad Shetech Shach, that's not for us, Afilo Oni Shebi Yisrael Lo Yochal Ad Sheyesev. All the Mishnah says is that if you are typically accepting money from tzedakah, you could accept tzedakah money also for the Dalet Kosos. The Mishnah and the Gemara, by the way, says nothing about selling your clothing. It's a tzedakah halakha. Maybe tzedakah doesn't have to finance your vacation, if you're an ani, and it doesn't have to finance some other exotic benefit. I'm not talking about like how what does it and what doesn't. That's not for now, but you know, there's a, I guess, personal lifestyle comes into it. But the simple reading of the Mishnah in Psachim is that if you're on tzedakah, a legitimate tzedakah allocation is for Dalet Kosos. But who said anything about being mocher ksus or maskir atzmo? Indeed, the Gon of Vilna in Siman Tav Reish Ayin Aleph Siv Katan Beis, O Space, he quotes the Magen Mishnah, but obviously the Gon of Vilna doesn't say very much. He just quotes. But obviously he was bothered by this problem. So he says, but if you look at the Rashbam in Psachim, on the Mishnah, he doesn't only think it's a tzedakah problem. He mentions it's a tzedakah issue. And then he says, but if tzedakah doesn't have the money, then the guy should sell his clothes and he should go out and get a job. But that's the Rashbam. That's not the Rambam. If you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Perek Zayin Halacha Zayin, all the Rambam says is you can take money from tzedakah. Look at the Rambam Hilchos Chametz. Lefikach kishasoed adam balayla hazeh, tzorech lecho v'lishtos v'umesev derech eros. V'kol echad v'yachad bein nashim, chayav chalishtos balayla hazeh dalet kosos, ein pokasan mehen, afil oni hamisparnes minat tzaka liyivchas lo midalet kosos. Even a person who's poor should make sure to have dalet kosos, even if he's on tzedakah. The Ram doesn't say a word about selling his clothes. He doesn't say a word about hiring himself out in order to increase his income so he could do Dalet Kosos. Again, in the back, Sefer Likutim of the Frankel Rambam, one of the Mefarshim there says, I don't understand the Magen Mishnah. The Rambam is learning this halakha from Psachim and Chametz, but he goes further in his discussion of Chanukah than Chametz? How does that work? Obviously, that's what bothered the Gra. That's why he quotes the Rashbam. But the Rashbam isn't the Rambam. So there are problems. It's a bigger problem even than that. The din in Dalet Kosos and the Pirsumei Nisa that is implied is not about how important Dalet Kosos is. It's just about the nature of Dalet Kosos. Part of the point of Dalet Kosos and Eseba, which the Rambam links together, is Derech Cheirus. You should be behaving like a free person. You demonstrate your sense of freedom by leaning, by drinking, and therefore that's very important. The Ani can't do that. There's no Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, you know, unless he's acting out Laharos. It's part of the Rambam presentation of Laharos, not only to perceive yourself, but to act in a certain way at the Seder. That has nothing to do with Ner Chanukah. That's a totally, what the Rambam is saying in Ner Chanukah is about the prominence and the importance of the mitzvah. Not about the nature of the pirsum, but the Rambam doesn't even mention pirsum, actually. My time is running out, so let me just say quickly, even though the details are important, but the Gra himself, probably because he was uncomfortable a little bit with this, goes a step further. He points out that the Gemara in Psachim on Kuf Yud Aleph, which I think I have here, I'm sorry, Kuf Yud Beis, says as follows. The Gemara says, "Afilu minatam chui pshita." Of course you can take from the doles tzedakah money for the Dalet Kosos. Well, nitzchal afilu Rabbi Akiva. Says even Rabbi Akiva will agree. That's why it's stated in the Mishnah. Who's Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva said, "Asei Shabbos kachol, the al tzedarich lebrios." Even if you have to cut down on your Shabbos meal, it's better to do that than to lose your dignity and to impose a financial obligation on the community. Hocha mishum persume nisa, but since Dalet Kosos, as opposed to the Sudas Shabbos or Sudas Yom Tov, is a principle of persume nisa, therefore being told that you have to go al derech tzedakah. That's the Gemara. Then the Gemara continues and says, Tana debe Eliyahu, afa bishama Rabbi Akiva, asei Shabbos chachol v'al tetzarech lebrios, even though you're supposed to minimize your Shabbos meal if you can't afford it, avol osu davar muat betoch beiso, my ninu kasa deharsa, some small little delicacy, something. Okay, so the Gra says an amazing thing. The Gra read this final line of the Gemara in a very interesting way. The simple reading of the Gemara is the Gemara saying, Rabbi Akiva thinks the din of Ani HaMisparnes will not apply in Shabbos, ever. It only applies in Dalet Kosos because of Persumei Nisa. Of course, you should try to have something special in your meal, but the Gemara doesn't say that you would be Ani HaMisparnes Minat Tzedakah, that you get that from Tzedakah money. It's just saying, you can make your Shabbos meal special even this way. If you look at the Rambam, in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Lamed, Halacha, that's why I say you can always look in the Rambam, or at least you can try. The Rambam says, Perek Lamed, Halacha Zayin, Ezu Oneg Ze Shamru Chachamim, Shetzorach Letakein Tav Shil Shamein, Bioter, should have a juicy meal, Umashke Mivusam, L'Shabbos, Hakolafim Amonu Shalonim, according to your economic circumstance. B'kolamar B'botza Shabbos U'batikin Macholim Rabim, B'tovim Arezim, it's like Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The more the better. B'mein Yodim Maseges, but let's say you can't afford it. Afilo Asala Shelek, Ukiyotza mishum kvod Shabbos, harizonik Shabbos. Any little amount is enough. The eno chayiv lahatzer latzmo v'lishol me'acherim kedei laharbus b'machol Shabbos. He doesn't have to distress himself and borrow for Shabbos. Amru chachamim asei Shabbat chakol v'al tetzarech labiyah. How did the Rambam read the Gemara Pesachim? Not that you stress yourself for the davar katan. You can get away with the davar katan, so don't stress yourself. But the Gra read it differently. So the Gra read it like this. Even though the din of ani amis parnis metzaka doesn't apply to a Shabbos meal, right? When it comes to the bigger meal, it applies for a davar mua. You'd have to actually take money from tzedakah for that. And then he says, and there's another Gemara that says that Kiddush Hayom is even more pressing than the Suda of Kavod Shabbos. So, if Ani Amis Parnes can take for this little bit for the Suda, he can certainly take for the Kiddush Hayom. If he can take for the Kiddush Hayom, then he can certainly take for Ner Chanukah. Because the Gemara says that when there's a clash between Ner Chanukah and Kiddush Hayom and Kiddush of Shabbos, what takes precedence? Ner Chanukah. Says the Gra, maybe that's the Makor. The Makor isn't only Dalet Kosos. It's also Kol Vekomer Kol Shekein Mikiddush Hayom. But the fact is, it doesn't work for the Rambam, because the Rambam didn't read the Gemara in Pesachim that way. This is my objection. According to the Rambam, if you look all Perek Chavtes, Hilchos Shabbos, where the Rambam deals with Kiddush of Shabbos and Yantif, you will find nowhere that you can take tzedakah money in order to get yayin for Kiddush. There is a Gemara that says something like that. That's the Gemara in Megillah. We're going to come to the end now. The Gemara in Megillah and Daf Chav Zayin, second, says, tells a story. Shalu Talmidav Esrab Zakai, Bameh Arachta Yamim. What's the secret of your longevity? Amar lahem, a few things. The one thing is, Lo Bitalti Kiddush Hayom. I always had Yayin for Kiddush. And then he tells a story. Imaz Kena Haisali, I had an elderly mother. Pamachas Machra Kipa Sheberosha V'Evia Li Kiddush Hayom. She sold her head covering, so I would have Kiddush Hayom. Some of the Nosa Caleb, some of the Mefarshim in the back of the Frankel Rambam. So, oh, that's the Gemara in Megillah. That's the Makor for the Rambam. Why? The Rush and the Rif bring this as a halacha. Kiddush Hayom is not as strenuous as Ner Chanukah. So by extension, if you sell your clothes for Kiddush Hayom, you'll certainly sell it for Ner Chanukah. The problem is the Rambam never paskins that story. Or it's a siman of Arichas Yamim. It's a very nice thing. It's not a halacha. It's not in Perek Chavtes Hilchos Shabbos. So we don't have the Suda halacha in Perek Lamed. We don't have the Kiddush halacha in Perek Chavtes. The only comparable din that we have in the Rambam is in Perek He of Hilchos Shabbos halacha Aleph. And even that doesn't qualify. That's about Neros Shabbos. Right? And Neros Shabbos, the Rambam says, Hadlokas Ner Shabbos Einu Rishus, Imratza Madlik, Imratza Einu Madlik, Belo Mitzvah, Sheinu Chayiv Lirda Vachareha, Ad Shiasena, Elachova, Echar Anashim Vechar Anashim Chayiv Lios Mibateim Ner Dolik B'Shabbos. And then he says, Afilo Ein Lama Yochal, even if he has no food to put on the table, shoel al apsachim, he should go out begging, v'lokeach shem and umadlik asaner. Shezeh b'klal oneg Shabbos. Ner Shabbos is so important that you should go out and beg. Some of the notes in case say, where does he get that from? They start quoting all these same makoros. But even then the Rambam doesn't say that you're mocher ksus. So again, our time is pretty much up. So let me say the following. The Rambam didn't think that he needed a makar, because the makar is what the Rambam has already established about Chanukah. In Perek Gimel Halacha Aleph, when the Rambam discusses the calamities that Klal Yisrael faced, the formidable obstacles to any kind of return to a normal life, right? He did so purposely in order to accentuate just how important the Geula of Chanukah really is. And that's why when it came to reading the Gemara, which says, "My Chanukah, what is the essence of Chanukah?" The Rambam elevated all three of the components hugely, right? The Yom Tov, which couldn't be Isra Malacha, as Rashi points out, became Simcha. And the Hallel became kind of a counterpart to Neros Chanukah. The Hallel and the Dinim of Hallel, all treated in the context of Neros Chanukah. And the third one, the Hodah component, especially, you express Hodah to the Rabbona Shel Olam by means of Ner Chanukah. And then the Rambam in the end sums it up in Perek Dalet Halachi Yud Beis. And he says that a person has to be Zahir. Just get the language again. Mitzvah Snanach Ner Chanukah Mitzvah Chaviva Hi Ad Ma'od. A very rare usage. Where does he get it from? The answer is, if you understand everything I just said, then you understand that it's Chaviva Hi Ad Ma'od. This isn't just any mitzvah. Betzarech Adam Lehi Zahir Ba. What's required in Ner Chanukah is, number one, to treat it with ahava as an opportunity, but also to make sure you don't squander the opportunity. You should be nizar in it. Kedei lohodia neisa lahosif sheva chakel v'hodoya lo. Because in the world of Torah and Halacha, being mosif shevach and hoda are not small things. Again, unfortunately, we are desensitized, you know, but there's an art to Halal and there's an art to Hodah. It's not for now. They penetrate to the innermost of our world, of our feelings. So the Rambam basically says, this is all this halacha here is gratuitous. It doesn't teach you anything new yet. He crowns it off, and the last real halacha, aside from the priorities that come after it, in all of the Hilchos Chanukah, is the chiddush that afilo oni amisparnes min hatzdaka mocher suso kedei liknos ner Chanukah. The Rambam understood that this wasn't simply a regular mitzvah saseh. Typically, mitzvah saseh, there's a limit. Chomesh. Maybe pursuing nisa, you extend the limit. But there's nowhere in all of Yad HaChazakah where the Rambam formulates the requirement to go so far as he does with regard to Ner Chanukah. Not in Ner Shabbos, which is in one respect overrides Ner Chanukah. Certainly not in Dalet Kosos, not the Rashbam, but the Rambam. Certainly not in Kiddush Hayom, etc. But that's, the Rambam has explained where he gets it from. Mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od chayev li zaher. This touches upon dvarim ha'omdim berumo shel olam. These are really critical themes in Yahadus. And therefore, the Rambam thought, based on a general hierarchy, not a particular Gemara, not even a particular component, it's inconceivable you wouldn't do whatever you had to do in order to fulfill this mitzvah, in order to express the themes that are so critical in all of Yahadus, but that come together in particular on this holiday. And therefore, the perfect coda, you know, and kind of the introduction to it trumps Kiddush Hayom, you know, it's trumped by Shalom because that's called a Torah Kula. But anything less than that, Neros Chanukah isn't simply a mitzvah divrei sofrim, it's a mitzvah divrei sofrim that conveys and that embodies cardinal principles of Yahadus. So I want to wish everybody a Chanukah Sameach. It's not yet. It's another couple of days. Not so many days. Tomorrow night, right? You know, this is a year where Klal Yisrael, the world, certainly needs a Yeshua. There are already Nisim, I think, you know, in the, you know, opportunities, you know, to neutralize, you know, the dangers that are so prevalent and pervasive right now. But the speed with which, you know, the medical community and others have reacted, the ability, you know, to keep going and to do things important to us, notwithstanding the challenges, has been, I think, a very impressive aspect of Geula and Yeshua, together with, of course, the risks that remain and the fears and the dangers, you know, that are still very much part of our world. But for you know, Ovdei Hashem and for Bnei Yeshiva and for their parents, it's, you know, the immersion in Talmud Torah, in the world of Halacha, you know, in the world of the Rambam and Rashi, where we sustain our hope and our values. Therefore, I want to wish everybody a meaningful Chanukah, a happy Chanukah, a time of Zehirus, but especially a time to appreciate that mitzvah, Chaviva hi ad ma'od. Thank you. If there are anybody who wants to, any parents want to ask questions about the shiur or just in general, I'm happy to do that.